Cheers.
Cheers. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Episode 8, Hot D. Cheers again.
Pour some out for Viserys. Let's get right to it.
So you found out he was for sure dead from after the episode, though?
It was very clear that he was dead, but I was scared. I guess it's like one of those things
where... Maybe next episode he's wearing more of a mask.
Maybe next episode he's wearing more of a mask. Right, exactly. Or he is completely mute or, you know, everything is gone. He's just bones, but he's still like technically alive. I guess I felt like there was some sort of hope that maybe we had such a nice time tonight, you know, and everything ended on such a tragic note. I guess I just kind of hoped until it was spoken out loud that maybe we could have more time with him. This episode was so emotional, and I'm really sad that we had to say goodbye to our guy.
Poor Vagon, to say goodbye. That's who you're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It is a bummer. He was so good. This whole
Baemond.
No, Viserys.
Oh, Viserys.
Baemond was great
in
this episode, though.
Yeah, he was too.
Really good. I was getting some Laws of Gods and Men, Tyrion vibe from him in that same room. The conviction.
There was power.
The twist of the face.
That was his last opportunity, and I think he knew it, too.
Yeah, he had to. But to go out like that, with the punch in on his face, bastards!
And then the shot.
I thought we were going to see his tongue come out.
You did see his tongue.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Or something.
I got a very clear angle. That was his tongue.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
The shot of him laying on, after he'd passed, and the Silent Sisters were working on his body, and you see the clear, completely
perfect
cut.
Valyrian steel cuts clean. Very cleanly.
It was very
clean.
It was
like a lightsaber.
It was. Man, this episode was a emotional punch in the gut. I felt like it was a roller coaster from high to low to uncertainty to high to hilarity to just...
What was your favorite part?
That's for the end. We got to save that for the
end.
Oh,
yeah. Like your favorite outside of an own, not your favorite concept or idea or line. But I guess sequence. What was your favorite section of the episode?
I really liked how this episode, and this highlights something that we've been talking about for weeks, that this disagreement was passed on to the kids and it spun out of control.
Yeah, I saw that too.
In this episode, you feel it in a massive way because we get Allison and Rhaenyra apologizing to each other in a way that seems pretty sincere.
Yeah.
And we'll never, I don't think, given the end of the episode, be able to really follow up on how things could have potentially been between them had Viserys lived a little bit longer, had the kids not fought the way they had forever, their whole relationship. It's such a shame to see that the adults are finally able to let go of these grudges that they've been holding for years for really no reason. But it's too late. It's way too late. And that was tragic to me.
Yeah, it feels like a smarter situation than Fire and Blood because I was supposed to be smarter reading Fire and Blood and seeing it like this. But instead, the show sort of translated the subtext in a way that made me go, ah, so much more than it previously had. I always saw Allison Rhaenyra as the main guys of the upcoming conflicts. It looks like a Dance of the Dragons, like what happened in this episode. They were dancing.
Literally.
All of the people that would be dancing.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, it's them now. We thought it was not going to be them, especially the past couple weeks because they've been growing up and they've seemed precocious. I guess it's probably after Luke's toast, maybe before Aemon's toast. There was a couple looks that were shared and a couple, it was just the reaction of Aemon really to the pact that had just been sort of formed between Rhaenyra and Allison. That moment after, it seemed like, okay, you guys can decide to do this, but we're going to take over from here.
Well, he should have just laughed at the really hilarious joke that they played on him. I feel like, I don't know if the rest of the kids specifically requested that this thing happen to him.
There's no way. They're visiting. They would have literally had to have Aegon get in on that with them, which I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think they're that close now.
Probably not, but it's such a sweet...
random happenstance.
It's still such a sweet...
You're the reason he's bad, because you wanted it to be a prank. You're the reason.
Regardless if it was a prank or not, I think you're right, but... it was a sweet throwback. Of course, Luke is going to laugh at that. It's hilarious.
We're nostalgic for a couple weeks ago, everybody.
Of course we are. Aemon took it way too... I loved Aemon trying to stand up to Daemond because he just, like, couldn't. He kind of, like, cowered away. He's like, yeah, you see what I'm doing here. Aemon grew a billion years in the last whatever. He looks older than literally everybody else at the table.
Was the time gap.
He looks older than everyone else at the table.
Yeah.
And he is way too serious. He's way too serious.
Yeah, no, I love it though.
Me too.
I love it.
I'm excited to see how that plays out because that level of intensity we're here for. But he's taking these things way too seriously.
I mean, yeah. That seems to be his thing. I think he's probably realized at an early age. Maybe it happened before Driftmark. Maybe it happened during. Maybe it happened sometime in between these last two episodes. But he's begun to realize that people can make up their own minds and do whatever they want. But that also means that I can too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be a bad guy.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe I'll at least be disruptive to whatever your comfortable little plan is. And I also really have always liked the way that Daemon dresses. So maybe I'll integrate that a little bit also. I'm so glad they gave us that. A little bit of a in-your-face, cartoony stare down between those two. Mm-hmm. It didn't go too far. I'm happy about it.
Thank you for making me like
Aemon and Daemon's weird dynamic more than I wanted to like it. We always knew it was there, but I guess when we were reading it, none of us were really like, Andy's going to look just like Daemon and also shadow him in some kind of way. And we didn't know that we needed it, and we probably would have thought, if we'd have been told that, like, you guys are going to do that. But they're making moves ahead of the, like, 4 or 5 steps ahead of us, where they're not going to wait until season 2 to give you these nostalgic feeling things. They already know that you're going to love it. They already know that you're going to like it. So let's lay it on thick. And that's when we're seeing something new, you know, like the pig. We all know and expect from settings like this, art that's set in time periods like this, the how thou this and there. But what we don't know to expect is that little weird shit. Mm-hmm. Like Aemon and Daemon's dynamic that's growing and Luke and Jace's dynamic with him and... the weird shit between Alicent and Aegon at the beginning of the episode. Little stuff like that is, that's just, they already know that we're going to like it.
It's intimate.
Everyone's saying this is the best episode they've seen. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
Really?
Yeah, everyone is saying, well, a lot of folks are saying that this is their favorite so far. And
why would you say you don't know about that?
I don't know. I feel like the last episode was just so, it was so iconic. It felt so carved and so designed to feel like a specific way. And there was definite moments of that in this episode, but it didn't feel as seamless to me. Mm-hmm.
I think this is agreeing with you, but I would say that this episode held probably some of the most powerful scenes in the season so far, at least for me. That scene of Viserys hobbling through the throne room to sit on and he's like, Otto, it tells Otto, I'll sit here today. I'll take the chair today. He comes to defend Rhaenyra, and Daemon helps him sit down. And we could go on and on about
I love
that scene.
That Daemon was the last one to help him along the way.
Oh, he wouldn't let anybody help him until Daemon helped him. But I would say scenes like that, that's maybe one of my all-time favorite scenes of House of the Dragon. Mm. But I would agree with you in saying this probably isn't my favorite episode. So I think I had some really unbelievable moments. But like you're saying, maybe not strung together quite as well as we were last episode. Not to critique it at all because
I was gripped the whole time. Yeah,
that scene, like I said, that scene is maybe one of my favorite scenes in House of the Dragon. Period. Like you were saying, this is about family, and this is about the same narrative that Viserys is repeating over and over again this whole episode. But they can't be strong if they're divided. He's like the House of the Dragon, you know? We have to stick together.
We got the call out for that title and the Song of Ice and Fire in one episode.
Yeah. If only they said Game of Thrones.
Right. We gotta and go also, the trifecta. Vaemon would have been perfect to say that.
Yes, he would.
Or Daemon right after he cuts his face in half.
That was, that whole sequence was pretty unbelievable.
I've always liked a good beheading, but the face in half, I've been wanting to see that for a while. And I know that we've seen it, but I liked seeing it like that. That was right in our face and kind of the focus. And we also got to see the museum display of what it would look like afterward. That was pretty neat. Didn't really need to see the autopsy begin, though.
No. It was a little unnecessary, but I think it just highlighted Rhaenyra's whole deal.
What was her deal in that?
She was talking about, I think, the High Septon or whoever it was, the Grand Maester, sorry, was telling her not to look. Mm-hmm. He's like, this bad luck, essentially, is what he says to her. And she says, and I'm scrolling to find exactly what she says.
She's saying the stranger visited her plenty of times, so she doubts that the stranger would care if she had a glance or had a bit of a look.
If her eyes were open or closed.
Yeah.
And I felt like being able to really see Daemon's dirty work, Daemon's handiwork, after she already believes that Rhaenyra and likely Daemon, she only addresses Rhaenyra specifically, killed Laenor. I mean, once again, this family takes another one of her siblings. I would love to get a little bit more insight onto Rhaenyra's feelings, because we got that look. She's obviously dealt with a lot of tragedy. She doesn't know what's going on with Corlys. Mm-hmm. He's not back yet. She hasn't seen him in a really long time, 6 years, the whole time since the time jump.
Yeah.
And Vaemond is gone, and he what he was saying was treason. But the whole thing was pretty brutal. Plus the conversation that she had with Rhaenyra, and Rhaenyra wasn't sure if Rhaenys was going to buy her final plea, essentially, until they're in the throne room. But, I mean, she's been around the longest. She has this really great wealth of knowledge, whether we would agree with her opinion or not. She's seen some stuff. And so I would be curious if she is cool with how this happened. I mean,
that's the thing. I think that's really the pain of this whole situation, is that what you're describing, her situation, is she's been alone in Driftmark, and she's taken on her granddaughter Bela as a ward. And I'm not sure if it was for that whole time, but no Corlys. She's probably doesn't like that, but she probably did okay. And she's ruling Driftmark, and she's got all of the perspective and was the queen who never was. So you would think at this moment that her best play wouldn't be supporting Rhaenyra, but it was. And that's kind of sad that all the way down the line, all the way up until this point, that's still where her situation is really at.
She made the move that Viserys, or that Alicent should have made, or that Viserys should have decreed, which is marry the two houses together, unify the kids, and move on with it.
I thought the confusion over who would, like the new confusion over who would take over the seat at Driftmark when Corlys is dead, was mostly interesting because it was a satellite verification of questioning the parentage of Rhaenyra's kids. But as far as who's actually going to run Driftmark at this point, it's I think of it the same way as the War of the Stepstones. But I guess that's the reason why it's gotten so bad. Not paying attention to, I guess, Rhaenyra's character.
Right.
I just don't know. It doesn't feel like I really have to pay that much attention to it, if this especially is as far as the bargaining goes at this point.
I think that you're right, but it's a microcosm for what is happening on a broader level. And it was handled in such a strong and, LOL, I didn't mean such a forceful and clean way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was, that's what I'm saying, when Rhaenys did what Viserys should have done, which is marry the kids together. They should get rid of anybody who is spreading these lies and rumors about these being bastard kids. I mean, Viserys' problem is that he just, and we've said this a million times, he just doesn't have the strong hand to make stuff happen. He's trying to appease everybody. I feel like we finally get a forceful Viserys in this episode. It's like his last plea to unite the family, to handle the matter of secession. But where was that forceful hand 4 episodes ago?
That's why he was confused. They got married. They had kids. He already said it was illegal for anyone to talk about anything other than this. So why, just because I'm in bed, is there an official audience with the throne where the throne's going to decide this matter? If anything, we didn't get enough time for him to crack into reasons why Allison and Otto might be potentially up to no good, or at least doing things against what he wishes. And I guess at that point, when you're at the end of it, he didn't have enough energy or hate in his heart, or I guess hate's the wrong word, but a bad feeling toward them for doing things against what he wanted to do. And plus, we didn't get enough life with him, because mm-hmm. maybe if he would have survived completely after today, he would have had more words for Otto. That's what I originally thought he was requesting when he was asking him for supper later tonight. I thought he was saying, yeah, dinner, you and I are going to talk about this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say how things are going to be laid out from here on out. And I was afraid that we might lose him before then. And that would be the style of the sour taste in your mouth, where it's like Robert's letter that Cersei tore up. Mm-hmm. That would have fixed everything if mm-hmm. Ned could have been mm-hmm. the regent. But mm-hmm. instead, yeah.
Well, the tragedy, too, is that Allison is genuinely confused about what Viserys is saying. Right. And so it's not even, it's so interesting, because it's not even that Allison is taking a grab for power because she feels like it's her right and duty. I know mm-hmm. that she does, but things seem to be squashed in this episode between her and Rhaenyra. She calls Rhaenyra the queen.
Mm-hmm.
But then she hears this thing from Viserys, and Viserys says to her, you're the one, you must do this. He's talking about the prince that was promised. He's talking about Aegon, all these things. And she doesn't, she just doesn't understand what she's never heard this before. So how is she supposed to know? And so that's.
So you think that she heard it as Aegon has to be the king for sure now?
No, completely. Completely. No. I mean, he was saying Aegon, the prince that was promised, you have to do this. You're the one.
Ooh, I thought maybe that some of the pain would be that she wouldn't know later how to pass the prophecy down, potentially.
I think she doesn't understand that it's a prophecy. I think she thinks
she thought he was talking about,
which I think is so sad, because once again, Allison is going to act thinking that she has true authority, or thinking that she's truly
doing the right
caring,
thing.
Truly doing the right thing, truly carrying out the king's wishes, when in reality, unfortunately, Viserys thought that was Rhaenyra.
Yikes.
Which is so sad, because things seem to be, it's like, you know, Rhaenyra's like, I'm going to be right back and everything's going to be fine. We're going to be friends again. We're going to talk this whole thing out. Otto's clapping and laughing. I mean, everything's going to be fine. The parents are going to handle it. The kids are a little out of control, but the parents are going
to
handle it.
They're not too big to go to bed.
Exactly.
Aemond.
The, you know.
Points right in his face.
You.
Finger lingers for 6 seconds and then he walks away. That would have been, I would have even taken that.
Sure.
You could give me that level of cheese, literally. He could have pointed at Damon right in the face and said, I'll see you later.
Right.
And it would have been okay. Oh, the overturned
figure. Remember
Damon's
sword hand? What if he did that? Anyway.
Oh, yeah, the point?
The point.
Oh, it's the same energy. Yeah. I could totally see, oh my God. Just a little doppelganger. So, everybody, check this out. This is what the people adapting this show have, this is their energy they're bringing, right? This is an analogy for pretty much the whole season. In the book, King Viserys dies too. But when he passes away, Rhaenyra and Daemon, etc., are not at the Red Keep.
Did he die after they'd already left? Or are they still going to be there? Like, are they going to know about it before they leave?
That's what I'm saying.
Such a good question.
So it's easier to cover something up when you know that you would need to carry word by Dragonback or Cinder Raven. It already would have been difficult then, because at that point, you've got all the people that knew about the word that was being sent, and then all the potential vectors of the word being read by someone else, and blah, 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 blah. So that's tense enough. But the tension of her knowing when she's going to find Viserys the next morning, or if she visits him again or someone visits him throughout the night. The tension of them potentially still being there by the next episode. And then, spoiler stuff, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to say it. Anyway, so they're there. And so that's the approach the showrunners are doing. Let's just turn it up to 11.
It's such an interesting move. I'm not fully bought into it yet that Rhaenyra and Daemon are still actually there. I think there's a possibility that they end up leaving before they find out that Viserys is gone.
Yeah, maybe. And that's what I'm saying. That would be worse.
That they missed
because,
it.
But they didn't, though. They were right there, and that makes it all worse. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, wait a second. I got to turn around?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just turn the knife a little bit harder is what they seem to be doing for the TV show.
That's what they've done with basically everything.
Yeah, I like
this,
it.
They've done a really good job.
I like it in this case a lot, too, because we got this really great final run of Viserys. And we've come to like him so much as viewers of the show. So to give us something really pointed to stare at the whole episode, mm-hmm. and for that to make us feel all of these things in the context of this royal family with such cartoonish problems they individually exhibit and with such a weird situation that they're all tied up with one another in, for us to get those same feelings that we all feel whenever we're looking at the span of time or the role in families or how families are spending time with one another or how things have shaken out. And then ultimately the one big truth of it is that underneath those faces of yours are bones that look freaky, like a weird skull. And your eyes are just some fleshy things that are floating in an orbital of a crazy skull that they use for decorations on Halloween. And it's just inside of all of our heads. Hope it goes well. Hope y'all do okay. And maybe we shouldn't argue too much. So let's raise a glass and then we cheers. But I don't want to do that right now. I've got time to do other things.
I'm young.
I don't want to do that right now necessarily.
I love that Viserys took his little Phantom of the Opera mask off because it exactly highlighted what you said. He's like, look at me as your dad and your grandsire and your husband and your dad.
Yep.
It was such a real and raw and human moment between them. And that whole scene just broke my heart because for a moment there, he gives that really powerful speech about seeing him as he is, and this House of the Dragon needs to stop dividing. There's this genuine pleading in his voice.
For the sake of this old man who loves you all so dearly.
He knocked it out of the park. It was so genuine, and everyone is smiling and laughing, and like I said, Otto is clapping, and the music is happy, and there's dancing, and Viserys is smiling a little, and Rhaenyra and Daemon are laughing, and everybody's having a really nice time. And it just feels so precious and hopeful and familial and wholesome for a little while after all of the heartache and the drama and the miscommunication and the weight of being the ones. They had this moment of levity, which I thought was so powerful. It just broke my heart. And then Viserys has to leave because he is unwell and things start to deteriorate from there with the pig and Aemon and all of that kind of thing. But it just felt like what an unbelievable, powerful moment and human moment for Viserys to spill his heart out to his people, his family.
Yeah, I wish it would have worked. It worked for a little bit.
It did work. It worked on the Gen 1. I mean, it worked on Allison and it worked on Rhaenyra. I think it genuinely worked on them. I mean, they too have got to feel emotional about all their kids being in the room together.
You're right, yeah. So it worked. And that feeling that I felt is, I think, going to be the spark that turns into stuff that we start hating, which is why we're going to keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's heavy. I like these kids, though.
Me too.
I like these kids. I like the lineup. I like the fact that their parents are still going to be around trying to keep all the freaking chaos together, and then stuff's going to get worse, so then they're going to have to probably get mad at each other again.
Little Jace trying so hard to learn High Valyrian. He's like, I'm going to be a king.
This is why David liked this season so right? much. He's like, this right. is the best show I've so ever work. Heard of. Literally, someone is learning High Valyrian. Someone is doing the Duolingo course within mm-hmm. the episode.
What a great ad that is. I should have flashed sense. It on the screen after. They'd be like, you want to be a king too? Learn High Valyrian. I loved Jace and Luke in this episode. They aged really well. I really, really liked that. Obviously, Aemon's...
Sound creepy. They aged really well.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean? They were so, as they were called in last episode, plain face. I mean, they were mm-hmm. little boys.
They had more of a personality now, for
they
sure.
They had personality. Yeah. They had...
Less mop-toppy.
And they were less pushovers. It seemed like they for had sure. this strength to them that we didn't get to see last episode. I know they were I little kids, agree. But I just... Yeah, they...
100%, yeah.
They grew
yeah.
up.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, way. So maybe it's not going to be completely one-sided.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to have some fight in this a little bit.
But Aemon, oh my God, in the training yard, gave old Christine Cole a run for his money.
He really
money.
Did.
Christine Cole broke quite a sweat there.
He calls to his nephews. He's like, you guys going to join?
Oh, that was such a great greeting. Nephews, are you here to so are you good. Here to train? I'm locked in right now. He's like, I have problems, serious problems, but they allow me to focus on things that I find to be important. The problem is... I'm into really bad things.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Not as bad as Aegon. What's up with him?
Dude.
What is going on with him?
What do you think is going on with him? Yeah, that was messed up. And I thought that Alicent was poisoning that little girl.
Yes.
Just because. Maybe she wanted to... I thought they were going to go sort of...
Let's go
I
hate
to
in.
Compare to other characters. But I thought they were going to go a little Cersei with it.
Sure, yeah.
Where it's like, okay... Well, I guess it was Joffrey with Robert's bastards, but still, it seems like at a certain point, Cersei would have been like, okay, maybe it's worth getting rid of a Vector that might seriously cause ruin to my house. So if word of this were to get out, well, right now, for sure, that's what someone would do in their case, because raping someone, he's not going to be able to survive as the person that he was before, because that's the kind of we don't stand for that kind of shit now, and it seems like that they are pretty loose about that in Westeros, even up to where we are and the current story. But when authorities know about it and someone that's not really well connected does it, they get sent to the wall mm-hmm. or something. But it's kind of like Daemon cutting Vaemon's head into no circumstances for people in their position. And so I thought maybe since it's already that fucked up, then maybe Alicent will just poison this girl to get rid of all the loose ends.
Well, especially because it came immediately after the sequence of Daemon checking Viserys' cup. Remember when he was asking for his
true.
Tea and just...
So that's not on accident then. Yeah. Maybe she did kill
well,
her.
Well, that's so then again later, one of the other maid girlies asked where Diana was and Alicent just hugged her.
Hmm.
So write in, I guess people can write in and let us know how they read that situation, but it seemed pretty open-ended. But I think that the fact that it immediately followed some suspicion about why are you drugging Viserys so hard.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But her name was what again?
Diana.
She looked a little bit like young Millie Alcock. And I thought that there was a little bit of rage in there for ladies like her.
I mean... She's put in a position. She was forced into a position that could ruin the rest of her life.
Which person?
Diana was.
Yeah. But Allison, I was picturing her in that position that they were trying to make us feel like she could be some kind of an evil witch that just
hates, that Allison could be
just hates someone that looks like young Rhaenyra.
Yeah. Oh,
a little bit extra.
I see what you're saying. And yeah, I see.
Dole out a
little
bit of harsher punishment. So that on top of the potential Vector with being a loose or being somebody that could be a loose end for Aegon's reputation and potentially carrying a baby or something.
Exactly. And that on top of then this Alicent that we see at the end of the episode who's just misinterpreting something. I mean, it's once it
yeah,
lands.
Yeah, she's been so confusing this whole season like that.
And it lands so well because it feels.
So maybe it's a sort of fake history lesson where it's like we didn't get the whole story in that scene. So depending on how we see Alicent, we could color it whichever way we want.
We get three perspectives in House of the Dragon.
Right.
And all three of them are not House of the
Dragon
and Fire and Blood. And all three of them are pretty different. And so that's the major lesson that we are supposed to take from Fire and Blood, which is that history is never completely as it's written. There's always more than one opinion or more than one account. And so... Allison, I think
that's
has
a deeper lesson, not just about history, about modern times.
Of course, yeah, I think
like
so.
How things actually are.
I think Allison has danced that line more finely than anybody else in the show so far.
She's danced out of my. I'm not able to catch her.
And know
exactly what she's up to. I still don't really know. And surprised me in the last episode, and again in this one with what seemed like a legitimate making up with Rhaenyra.
We may need to do another team. Blacks or greens poll, because I wonder if this has shifted anybody's opinion.
No, Kristen Cole is on the blacks. So
no, he's on the greens.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Don't you even.
My bad. Kristen Cole, sometimes my brain slips. Kristen Cole's on the greens, so they're not going to win the poll. People are going to vote. That's one of those guys that's just, no, if he's on your team, it's usually I think that kind of thing is bad to do, but when Kristen Cole, maybe that's how everybody else feels, I think is being ridiculous.
Kristen Cole needs to be sent to the wall.
Oh, for sure.
Still looks good.
I think
though.
You should send him to Southeros.
He looks good though. Yeah, far away. Okay. Completely far away. This is a Kristen Cole hate podcast, but we had like a flash of him with Aemond in the yard, but that was it that we saw for him this episode.
Yeah, he's losing grip on his weight, his influence, I think, mm-hmm. on the kingdom at large. If before long, they're gonna send him to the wall. Uh-huh.
Yeah, before long, for sure. For sure.
So are you getting the impression that Viserys' deterioration is not just a narrative that mirrors the status of his family in the kingdom and how well he's paying attention to his duties? Do you think that he could be slowly being brought down by maybe House Hightower or maybe by the Maesters, who could potentially be working with the Hightowers?
I would have maybe said yes last week, or I maybe would have said yes while reading Fire and Blood. But after this episode and kind of what we're saying about Allison, I just don't think so. Viserys has been sick for this whole season, basically. He was falling apart in episode one. Or was that, either way, episode one or two. I mean, he's putting his hand into a bunch of maggots.
Yeah, episode one, he did have the scabs forming.
It's been how many years since then? 20? It's been a lot of years since then. And so his body being in decline, I think, feels really shocking to us as the viewer, because these jumps are really doing him dirty. He does not look good in this episode. He looks legit scary in this episode. And so I'm more inclined to believe that he is just genuinely aging and that he is just genuinely dealing with these. I feel like Fire and Blood makes it a little bit more explicit. We got this early on in the season that a lot of his ailments are coming from the throne itself, because he gets cut up more than once in Fire and Blood. And we saw it once in House of the Dragon. So I think Fire and Blood makes a little bit clearer that he is deteriorating because of the throne itself, the physical throne, the pressure of the throne, the family.
Also of his personal choices.
Yeah. And so
he basically gives himself gout 15 years mm-hmm. earlier than anyone else could.
Because he's too stressed.
So, well, that, and he's so rich and
yeah.
has access to all these wonderful inflammatory foods and doesn't move physically very much either.
Right. So I'm still in that camp of that's his problem. I'm sure that, I mean, you know what? We all probably have some sort of experience with a family member in a life or death or a life-threatening situation where you're all kind of in the hospital, and it's like, what are they giving this guy? Like, can we check on what's happening over here? You know, like,
of course.
So I think that that's more of what Daemon is checking,
because he loves him.
Because he loves him.
He's holding on to some kind of hope.
I think that it would be intriguing if potentially they are over drugging him to make him more comfortable, but to also help their position, because now Otto gets to be leaning on the throne in the way he did, looking way too comfy. It helps. And I think Rhaeny's potentially, who told Rhaenyra that the Hightowers were just keeping the throne warm? That, you know, somebody said that along the way. Rhaeny's was saying how the Hightowers are going to land their first blow with the Lord of the Tides. Somebody else was talking about them being seat warmers, essentially. Anyway, it helps Otto and Allison's situation for Viserys to be deteriorating. But I do think that this is happening on its own. And I do think that Alicent, even though she's now like a religious zealot, is doing what she thinks is the right move. And Rhaenyra even says so in her toast to her. She says, "You've been loyal to my dad more than anybody." So that's what I think. I don't know if you see it, saw it differently.
Just thinking about Balon Targaryen too. Just all these wonderfully useful developments for them at this current point. But it was a written story, for one. And for two, that time gap like you're talking about, it's not like it was super quick. That's a really patient way to unfold your plan if you're going to take that long to do it. So
Otto may be driving some of this more than Alicent.
Well, you said that you think it's perfectly natural.
I would say it's 95% natural.
You think that if it's not a direct substance that they're using on them, or kind of substances, that it's a sort of lack of good care? We were sort of given into it, or a perspective on how the previous maester made his decision on, Maester Mellows decided how to deal with the birthing scene, for example. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be wishy-washy on the leeches, too. So maybe we're supposed to assume incompetence to some degree, but when you watch the way they make up their mind, it's hard to know whether they're being incompetent or if they're playing stupid, because, you know, that's the way that they exert control over this situation, mm-hmm, for either themselves or whatever guild that they subscribe to. That's all possible, and it's a mystery that's something we're still trying to work out from A Song of Ice and Fire, and maybe it's meant to always be there, but that length of time, maybe we can put it to bed then, because I've been wondering about it, and it seemed really forefront for me when I was watching this episode, because he's just dealing with so much agony and pain. It's just creeping in such a miserable way, and it's not something recognizable from the universe like Grayscale, and they don't really talk about it that much. They don't name it, so I just feel sus on it. But I know it doesn't really matter because he's dead. And
it does matter, though, because it puts more check marks into the side of the Greens for playing dirty.
It's such a long amount of time. I think that the worst thing that they could be doing is maybe just making bad medical choices to not make him better and to continue to have him drugged. I think that there's definitely something to the efficacy of your immune system whenever you're constantly bombarding your, I don't know how it works scientifically, but just something.
Neither do they.
There's something about the style of painkiller that Milk of the Poppy is, and I'm just trying to make sense of things medically to me. I don't know what a poppy does when you take too much of it, mm-hmm, but I think that whatever they do to make Milk of the Poppy, if you're constantly dulling your nerves or whatever it's doing, to stop you from feeling what's happening, you're probably dulling a little bit of activity and action over time. You cognitively can't even feel who you are anymore.
Of course, yeah.
And if that's your current constant state, I just don't think that you're going to get the kind of healing that you need to actually be better or to make the right decisions. And that's probably how you get in a situation where,
or even be lucid. Auto,
yeah, exactly. And so let's just go ahead and call the Driftmark throne into question in open court right now and make everyone travel all the way here, just because we know that he is too drugged up to get out of bed and know what we're talking about, and no one's going to go in the room and tell him, so we can just get away with it.
But that's what was so crazy. He's in a lot of pain.
Yeah, he's in a lot of pain, but that doesn't mean you can just start ruling the kingdom in different ways,
right,
while he's alive. I don't think anyone really talked about how crazy that was.
Completely. Well, Alicent, I thought it was really telling when Rhaenyra and Daemon show up.
Yeah, and they go right and to they're his looking room. Around. They're like, "Hey, I know this is bad, but oh, you're talking about when they arrived." Yeah,
they're looking around.
That was crazy.
And Alicent has this huge seven-pointed star
and there's
necklace.
One hanging in the castle.
Yeah, everyone, they're looking around like,
yeah,
what? Where did this come from?
Well, she's like, it got weird when we tried to wear Hightower stuff, emblems within the Red Keep, so we just went to neutral ground.
Right.
I mean, that's a greater tale, right? Mm-hmm. When you have less of an authority to stand on, you move to an authority that can not be contested and that speaks outside of you. And I mean, when you look at let's just limit it to Westerosian history. If they were to get the faith, which think of where they're stationed. Hello, who's the lord of where the headquarters of the faith are in Westeros? Lord Hightower. What about the Maesters? Lord Hightower. It'd be a good advantage to have these guys on your side if things get weird. And so the crown is not supported. Well, sorry, the crown will be supported if the people that are currently in charge stay in charge by the faith and the Maesters. I mean, doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. Another weapon, a couple weapons in the column for House Hightower.
Well,
we put your decor up around the castle. Who are you going to pick?
Right.
I'm wearing it now.
Allison's always been really devoted, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Very.
She was telling Rhaenyra just to pray early on in the season. She was they're sitting in front of all those candles, and she's like, just pray about it.
She's like, stop trying to hit on me.
Right. But that was, to go back to talking about the question of secession for the Lord of the Tides, mm-hmm. that would have given whoever that went to, whether it was Baymond or to Luke or Rhaenys, that's going to depend on where those ships lie. And the Lord of the Tides is going to owe Alicent Hightower, if Vaemond now gets to be in power because Alicent decreed it so, those ships now belong to the side of the Greens. And so that's just another chance for them to shore up their inventory of weapons.
Then inventory now, maybe artillery at some point.
Sure. Daemon found 3 dragon eggs. So I feel like it's ticking the boxes of, here's what these guys have. So we can know.
Dang.
That's why we would potentially care. But
that's a really important thing for them to have not lost today, then.
And they did.
Well, I'm Viserys talking about, when I say them, I'm talking about the blacks.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My chosen squad.
Right.
Hmm.
There's a lot of, again, what has made this season so great is that every conversation has 15 layers to it. And so there's a lot of maneuvering. Littlefinger would be so proud. He wishes. Everybody's playing on such a high level here.
God, Littlefinger would so be on the Greens.
Mm-hmm. He would, for sure.
I was so annoyed at the beginning of the episode when Vagon was literally using that potential to get allies that wanted a different thing to his own family at Driftmark. We're going to change this because of that. What a little squirrely way to be. I mean, I guess it's easy for Viserys to be the most unsquirrely one in his own way because there's no other place to climb to. Yeah, it's pretty comfortable. You can make those decisions, but I don't know. Rhaenys doesn't seem to be someone who does much of that either. But Rhaenyra, very shamelessly in this episode, just carries on saying that these are Lannor's kids. Mm-hmm. It's just, we all think that she's the coolest, and then that's not very cool of her.
I know. I agree. I was so frustrated. It was just another moment of frustration that we had a few weeks back of, how could you really mess this up as bad as you did?
And we know that we want her to, we know we like her. And I'm not speaking for everyone, obviously. Maybe some of you all are Team Green. But to those of us who want her to, I guess, at least win this rivalry, at the very least,
We kind of
overlook the fact that she's not being that cool.
I don't think we overlook it, but I think that it's overshadowed by the rest of the conflict that's
lame
going on.
Kristen Cole and Allison can be.
Yeah, you know.
They can just be snivelly, and so we don't like that. But she's being pretty snivelly by not acknowledging something that's true, especially when multiple people involved are dead, and we all make sense of it because we like her and because it would mess everything up.
Well,
if
what
you
good
told
does acknowledging it do? It's only gonna, like you said, it's gonna only ruin the line of succession for her. Those are her sons. At the end of the day, those are her sons.
Yeah, I just think it's important to point out that everyone's playing the game, and
of course, no one is not playing it. Well, and Rhaenyra comes to her dad at this episode and says, "Why did you do this to me?" Basically, mm-hmm. and how the burden was just maybe too much for her to bear, and the game was maybe, she says to Viserys, by naming me your heir, you divided everybody, mm-hmm. and we were supposed to bring everybody together. Can't you see what's going on? And she thought she wanted it. She says, but the burden is a heavy one, too heavy.
Love was the depth of duty.
Yes.
For his little Rhaenyra.
Yes. And so I thought that was a really powerful moment because I agree. I think we let a lot of stuff that Rhaenyra, especially in this episode, that she's doing slide because we like her and because she's the one and she's the realm's delight. But she's not perfect. Mm. I was mad at her for, I was legit pissed off at her like 3 weeks ago, you know? So I've forgiven her a little.
But it doesn't even matter now because the torch has been passed, right?
Well, and her and Damon have kids now. So you could almost pass over her older kids and say,
look at these.
Look at these guys. If you wanted to.
I raised your blondies with my blondies.
But Viserys made a decision so long ago that what is she supposed to do other than continue to uphold the narrative? She should just have been cooler and more careful. Can't they just dye their hair yellow? You know what I mean?
They should have, but
just shave their heads.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
They're like, we're bald. I know it's more complicated than that.
No, it's not. That's actually a really good plot hole that they left out. Was there no barbers alive in Westeros? Oh my God.
There had to have been because Daemon's hair is perfectly trimmed.
Oh, no. His wigs get extra attention. But surely. Okay. Man, so what do you think is going to go down in the last two episodes?
We always ask this question without ever watching the trailer, which I think is so chaotic. I think that trying to just base off of what we've seen in the show, I think that the conflict between Alicent and Rhaenyra, based off of what Viserys said to both of them, is going to be very interesting to see. Because once again, the two of them feel like they're in the right. They have conviction and goodness on their side. I'm curious to see a couple people, how Otto plays into that and feeds the fire. If or what Rhaeny's role might be in that, or if she's played the role already by speaking up. And I'm really looking forward to watching the kids' relationship deteriorate because it's very obvious that there is no opportunity for them to make peace. If there was, it's was at that dinner, I think. They haven't seen each other in years. And then they come together and there's more hate than there was before. They're grown men now. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that will break down and then what the repercussions are for the Targaryens, for the realm. They're not little kids fighting with swords in the schoolyard anymore. And so, like we've been saying, these are our main focus now. So what will that mean?
Well, Daemon was playing at home. If you guessed that Viserys would die in episode 8, ding, 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 you get 1,000 points. I think we guessed 9.
I thought 9. I thought even till the end of the after the episode, I thought 9. We'll see the fallout of his death in 9. So I guess we weren't completely wrong there.
And then I'm just curious about 10 then, because I feel like you can almost stop it there. So I'm buckling up.
What if we see some dragon action in 10?
Like just washing them? Taking them for a walk.
Some fighting.
I hope not. I'm wishing for a peaceful resolution between all these guys. I think that this is quite a squad, and if they all came together, what a tier of the dynasty to rule over Westeros between all of them.
This is the stuff, Lionel.
Exactly.
Imagine.
Exactly. I just like all their dynamics together.
They all have such different personalities. It's really fun. And Aegon going after Jace, he's like, do you even know how to please a woman? Like, he was really coming on to him so intensely and really hard.
Yeah.
And Jace was trying really, really hard to handle it maturely. But they all have such strong personalities. They all have such great, I don't know, it's hard not to say strong and everything, but they all have such bold personalities. And so their dynamic is going to be really fun to continue to see how that plays. I agree with you. They could be like, they could squat really hard. That's what Viserys is trying to say. And that's the whole point of Fire and Blood. The whole point of Fire and Blood is that we're strong as we are united and weak as we are divided.
That's what I think, too. I think that's a pretty obvious point. But,
Dumbledore said it best.
It's hard to sometimes implement that whenever you really don't agree with something
else
that's happening.
Totally.
Yeah.
Don't look at me for this. Because if I was one of those kids, I would be doing the same thing. There's no forgiveness. The kids have no context. They don't know that their moms were besties. So there's no context there. So, of course, they're going to take it all the way. I would, too. Sign me up.
Well, on our next episode, we're going to be watching again, talking about all the small stuff and all the cool things from the production. I know there was a handful of stuff in here that caught my eye. For now, we will give our owns. And believe me, I'm trying to soak up these moments because this was episode 8.
Man.
And there's only 2 left. And I don't think that we're going to get a season in 2023.
Stop.
That's what the rumor is.
Literally, stop.
They're going to be in production.
I understand how that logistically makes sense, but I do not want to. I can't think about that.
So let's do the rest of this Hot D season together, and let's turn the volume up to 11, and let's try to implement that feeling that all the kids felt whenever the adults agreed.
I have some little owns before my main own. My first one is going to go to when Vaemond is dancing around the word bastard, and there was a really long pause, and Damon goes, "Say it." He's just egging him on. That was really awesome. I loved that. And then he screamed it. That was really powerful. Also, little own to Viserys and to Otto when Viserys says that thing about dinner. Give me 20 seconds.
Say it.
I want to have supper, Otto. It's the morning, Your Grace. That was awesome. It was just another great little Viserys moment. But I think my overall own, like I was saying, probably one of my favorite scenes of this whole season so far was Viserys very dressed up. He was dressed to the nines. He had cloaks we've never seen him in before. He has little Phantom of the Opera mask on. It was incredibly powerful to see him using every last bit of effort to get to the throne. And then to have Damon help him the last step of the way when he refused help from anyone else. I mean, unbelievable. It was so powerful. And I know we've said this again and again, but we're 8 episodes into season 1 of House of the Dragon.
That's the big point, I think.
And
yeah.
Viserys walking to the throne.
Yeah.
Viserys, who in Fire and Blood is a throwaway character, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It broke my heart. It was so powerful. And so Viserys.
And just saluted.
Salute the troops. I mean, that was unbelievable. So my own goes to that moment.
I'm so surprised. Those were great. I'm so surprised you didn't choose Otto small clapping as one of your small owns.
That was, his clap was so Otto. I don't know how else to describe it other than that was such a beautiful Otto moment. He was laughing too.
So glad we've been blessed with all these fresh memes.
I know.
Just hot and ready. Okay, I'm going to give my own to a few things. Classic Damon cutting someone's head off unexpectedly. That was pretty cool. And I think that just the concept of Aemon being as effective as he is so quickly and so with it has really set us up for some cool stuff. And my final own to the introduction of Eric.
Oh, yes.
And the mention of his brother, Eric. Hopefully we meet them both one day soon.
I totally missed that. And you nudged me. You're like, it's Eric.
You're like, oh.
Yeah.
No, you know. So that's it for our owns. We're going to get off this podcast right now and retweet yours until we record our next one. So that'll be throughout the week.
You can find us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, by searching for Game of Owns. You can send us an email to contact@gameofowns.com. And we're going to be asking some questions in a couple of days to frame our midweek conversation. So check us out. Send us your owns. Hit us up with your memes. If anybody gets a gif of auto clapping, please send that our way ASAP. And we'll see you soon.